constituency's name, like African ancestry, includes a very wide variety of political currents within it. And Errol before raised the question of the danger of Toms taking over. Can we all agree on who's a Tom and who's not a Tom? Somebody is going to be deciding. How are you going to decide which of the groups or which of the activists within whose constituency you're going to try to elicit representatives from or nominees from? It just seems like a very divisive and a hopeless task. How is that going to be done?
I have a two-part question to the constituency model, which I see, unfortunately, as sort of a Rube Goldberg thing in terms of the way. Rube Goldberg was a cartoonist who made up a model that was very, very complicated, and you could never tell what might come in into it and out of it. And so my questions really have to do, number one, with outreach, being involved in the Bed-Stuy outreach thing where we only got 10 people out of making a big call on who is going to do the outreach to what groups, for example, in the gay community. Second, in terms of numbers, how do you balance in each of the models, say 500 women voted for the woman's seat? So that person would be elected by 500 people, but four people voted for the gay seat. Excuse me, I don't think that's fair. How do you think that's fair?
That's your question. Okay. Fred.
Okay, well, that's sort of an answer to what Susan is. It's a why don't you let me finish my sentence? Why don't you let me finish my sentence? My question is actually an answer, sort of. Right? Okay. It's funny that every time we talk about outreach, the KPFM model, first of all, the bylaws do not address outreach. It doesn't even speak about the mission, just says that it has to be met. There has been no discussion of what the mission is supposed to be about. There was a mission commission that came out 6 months ago, and nobody actually staffed that mission commission. The outreach, the question is, where is the outreach addressed in the KPFM model? I've been looking for it. I'm still looking for it. I don't think it's there.
All right. That's a question. Donna?
This is for the constituency model. Why do you have people voting in person?
Why do you have what?
Why do people vote in person, particularly...
Rather than by mail.
Particularly with given the importance of being sure that the vote is legitimate. I mean, having to oversee the legitimacy of the vote, why have people vote in person, which requires these different polling places and so on?
Who's
it
for?
Mike. Speaking to Mike.
Okay, my question is to both groups, and that is, how do I ensure the validity of the candidates of anybody that's being elected? For instance, Susan Lee had a big conference on what should be on a board. Now, if I'm picking people, I can make up a list of what I want from a person. If you're going to have democracy, whatever the people pick, whether it's a garbage cleaner with no skills to a university professor with all the skills, they elect their representative. You can't tell them who they can. How do you, in each of these models, vet to make sure the people that are sitting down there like you are good people based upon a vote, no matter whether it's from the constituents or from the KPFA?
Good people.
Thank you.
Okay, this is to the Unity Caucus constituency model, and it has to do with self-determination as opposed to predetermination. The question is, over time, who will determine, how will it be determined, which are the constituencies that are guaranteed representation? Just a quick parenthesis through in proportional representation, if you have, just a parenthesis, if you have 18 seats open, 1/18 of the electorate is guaranteed filling that seat. And so through the proportional representation, you actually have self-determination through elections of groups, as opposed to it being predetermined in some model that there'll be so many gay, so many disabled, so many African ancestry. My question is, over time, who is going to determine whether there should be more anti-globalization seats or environment seats or youth seats or whatever, Asian seats, whatever?
Yeah. Patty.
Patty?
Yeah.
In the case of voting and elections, it's hard enough to get enough people to vote to really be representing. You know, this is a big complaint I've heard that there's, you know, the KPFA only 25% of the people voted and everything like that. So isn't it, would, I'm asking the, basically the constituency model people, isn't it making it more difficult for people to participate if they have to come and register and then they have to come and vote and they have to come to the big top and they have to, like, come to all these things? I mean, we can't get people to come to any meetings. All of a sudden, they're going to participate. And the other thing is this outreach group or whoever it is, this, the people that have organized this group will be the people controlling the station. That's the way it works because they are deciding. So who decided not to have the May Day Books Collective people, the anarchists, the feminists? The anti-globalists, where are they? Who decided they aren't in here, and why aren't they as important as anybody else? And this is, and who's to say that if they can't get Britney Spears as the youth person? I mean, you couldn't stop Britney Spears. It's so I'm asking you, how are you going to stop famous people putting forward a famous Latino, a famous person? Everybody will vote for them, and you can't control it, can you? How are you going to stop the bad political people in a group just because they're black or brown or
white.
Yellow?
Or white.
Or white.
Okay.
Or white okay. Either.
James.
You don't have to be a listener.
This is a question to both models, huh? How do you address the idea of self-evaluation of the model itself, in that the model might work as prescribed, and yet the morale and participation drops? How do we come back to it and say that we need to serve the mission as everybody likes to speak about?
Yeah, good question. Romano. You pass it?
Given that there's a under the constituency model, you get two votes, I understand. Okay. Under the constituency model, I understand that you get two votes, one geographic and one with a declared constituency. Am I correct with that?
No.
Well, then explain it to me, and then I'll follow my question.
Are there more questions?
All right. Well, my question really goes to, if someone did not want to declare their his or her constituency and believed in a unirationalist concept, which I thought was really the premise of BAI or Pacific in the first place, that we are all one people. And, and how do we forge unity when we are making such huge distinctions among peoples?
We're inventing them.
Will we not then be depriving people who believe that we are all one and do not identify themselves as any particular group? Are we then denying them of a additional voice?
I'd like to ask a question for the Unity Caucus model. As I understand, your
guys.
Well, first, I'd like to point out that you didn't really ask, you didn't really answer Madeline's questions about why you don't include environmental groups, peace groups, which are also part of.
People can be environmentalists.
Pardon, I'm asking my question. I'm actually very interested in this question. That's why I'm re-raising it. And secondly, it seems to me that your model gives up so much in terms of the constituency model gives up so much in terms of a fair election procedure, in that you can have 500 people vote for one seat, yet 50 people vote for another seat, or if, for example, I'd like to vote for Sean. I think he has all the qualifications for a great member of the board. But let's say Sean runs in the African ancestry constituency, I can't vote for my favorite person.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
You got to
run in it, but you can vote.
You can vote in any. Yes, I thought you had to be a member.
Why don't you ask a question? What have we answered? Yes.
You made an assumption, which is wrong.
Well, wait. Well, then, what if I didn't register beforehand? I thought, you know, like a sensible person. Well, I'm not African ancestry. I can't register.
You can.
I thought I would register in the at large or the.
You probably are actually.
He can run as an at large.
But what if he doesn't run at an at large, Fred? He might choose to run as an African ancestry, and if I'm not registered, I can't vote for him. That's a big flaw.
Register.
So my question is, with all you guys give up, can you please explain why what you gain in terms of self-determination makes up for what you give up? Because I believe what you give up is going to make people not want to participate in this process.
That's a comment rather than a question.
Somebody wrote here, can somebody make a statement on the importance of remaining civil to each other? Not making, not getting that, et cetera, during this process?
Thank you very much.
Donna, didn't we agree that we were going to have a code of behavior?
Yeah. My question is to both the proponents of both models, and that is, there's been talk, particularly by the constituency model, about the threat of, quote, hostile takeover. What is the protection in both models from turf protection and entrenchment from within?
Yeah.
Which is what I think.
I don't know how many questions was asked about. Is 10 minutes enough?
I feel.
10 minutes enough for each side to answer.
Someone's got a point of order.
Could be wrong in my count, but it sounded like about 90% of the questions were addressed to the constituency model, and you're going to give the equal amount of time to both sides. It essentially constricts our ability to respond to those questions.
It's true. Yeah.
That's right, man. I think they better say the fact.
Jamie just got up. He asked a question of the constituency model. How would anybody else answer it but somebody from the constituency model?
Right. I think that most of the questions, I mean, you got a point on that.
I
know.
They should have those two calls now. It's a waste.
They
have
only one set of questions.
Everybody knows what they're
If it turns out that the 8 of the 10 questions are directed to constituencies, are allowed 1 or 2 minutes to answer those 8 questions, and the others are allowed the 1 or 2 minutes to answer their questions.
I think let's do this. I recognize that most of the questions were asked to the constituency model, and it would be maybe unfair to say have the same amount of time. Maybe I should take that back. What we're really trying to do here is to, for clarification, for the people to have some kind of understanding, maybe push the people to dig deeper into the whole issue. So why don't we start answering the question, trying to see if we can answer all the questions that were asked, and we're trying to limit in terms of the answer, because one of the things that sometimes people lose track of the time, and they, like I noticed, the people spend, the first question took a long time, and then it was
pivoted.
So we're going to that, and then can I just finish my point, and then, you know, that they, you also answer. So I will say, so is that okay with the people that we're going to limit to 15 to 10 minutes? Is that okay? See, most of the questions.
How do we see how it goes?
Let's just do it.
No, let's take it from the board. Okay, let me take it from here.
How long has this section taken?
Well,
the board needs to talk.
Start at the top of the list.
We start about.
Could the board answer?
My question is, when we allocated an hour for discussion and straw poll, when did we start this?
An hour and 10 minutes on this.
So your question was what?
Question of the board.
I just want to know how much.
Question. Just a question of my comrades.
Yeah, ask the question.
Are we going through a rhetorical exercise here, or after 7 months with dialogue, written material, and very eloquent presentations, do we not know how to answer at this juncture these questions? Is this pontificating, or are we really searching for something? That's all I'd like to know before we make a decision to extend. And I'm addressing this to the board.
Well, I have a partial answer. And I'm sure there's pontificating there. It's more than that. I have a statement that, well, when this agenda was set up, to us, and they included questions from Paul. And it's a genuine question. The answer, I know the answer, but apparently the Paul did not know the answer. And in it, he corrected a section of it here where he says they don't allow, there's no election. I mean, you don't have to be a listener. Now, that's been corrected a long time ago, but Paul did not know, obviously. So apparently, there seem some questions that are not answered yet.
Are they substantive or are they de minimis? I mean, there is a point where we're massaging our egos here.
I agree.
I really would be hard pressed. I remember vividly the Henry Winston Center many, many months ago, where Bertol and Paul, myself, etc., made almost identical presentations with the flourishes now of petitions and other things. Not to demean anything, but it is virtually an identical audience here. It is now 9:30, and I don't mind debating all night, but when it is almost a misogynist activity, and it is not enhancing or elaborating, what is the point? So
okay.
If the board is to take a straw poll, does the board not feel comfortable and confident in doing that at this juncture?
Okay, I think that... we're taking maybe it's really hard to control the time and keep the
what
people
time
in time. It's now 9:15.
Okay.
I propose that we give that look. We set up to ask some questions. I mean, some of those questions were something that. It's really weird. I don't think that you need to answer those questions. But I will propose that we give these people a chance to answer some of those questions, and then we're back to follow the agenda, which is to a discussion followed by a straw poll. Is that okay? 10 minutes?
I have a suggestion about this process.
Question
is you ask, and if anybody wants to answer, they answer. And people, especially since constituency, people have been asked so many questions, they should have the chance to do it. But if you call the question, whoever wants to answer, answer it. And if nobody wants to answer it, so it goes. So it cuts down the time and people get the chance that they want.
Okay. Yeah. So that would be proposed, 10 minutes to answer those questions. That would take 20 minutes on both sides. But since they have no answer, look, you take it 10 minutes and
five minutes.
Bob, can you start
five minutes,
answering
five
the question?
Minutes.
10 minutes for the whole debate.
Can we read the question and hear the question?
I think you have the question, right?
Deja vu all over again?
Yeah. What was the first question?
How are the candidates selected?
That was for you.
No, that was for
you. You have the questions, Bob?
The question was how are the candidates selected?
Nominated.
Well, she said selected.
Not nominated.
Huh?
Move on to the next question.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
I'll answer some and Bob will answer them.
If people misinterpreting my question was to the KPFA.
No.
Mike just told
it's
me that.
Question.
It was my question.
Oh, so the KPFA only?
Yeah, it was to KPFA only. But I'm just clarifying.
Everybody's quiet.
We started a process here. If the people don't want, don't have any respect. For me, I'm running the goddamn meeting here. If the people just come here, like there's nobody sitting down here. We've been through that before. If we want to do that, I mean, the idea is to sabotage the meeting. I mean, this is easy
no,
to do.
No,
but
I'm
I didn't
sorry.
Ask
I
for respect because I demand a respect okay, as I'm running this meeting here.
I apologize to the group in the meeting.
Skipping over and over again.
Can we just like start again?
That question wasn't to keep it the model, but
it wasn't addressed to
okay. I'm answering only for the constituency. All right, to the.
Can you say the question and give us the answer?
The first question to the constituency group was the question of African ancestry. Who could decide who's a Tom or who's not?
Terrible question.
Well, the communities do know who's a Tom and who's not. That's why they have to decide their own faith, because they do know. The other question, it's not as far as outreach is concerned. How is the outreach done? Whether it's gonna take place as a complicated process. Well, we all know the importance of outreach already. And during the last Christmas school, if we were actively doing outreach in these communities, there will be a lot more people out there to protect the station. So let's get started in doing the outreach. We already have people within the station. Okay, we speak about inreach. And the people are already there that could go into these communities who knows who are the activists, who are the leaders within each community, and who's a grassroots group and who's not. So they will be able to, they are most qualified to go out there and do the outreach. The other question is, where is the outreach addressed?
In the KPFA model. That's not
for that's not for us. Why do people vote in person? Okay. We do prefer that people will come in and vote in person, but in cases such as the prisoner constituency and people who are disabled, they do not have to vote in person for these groups.
Can you tell us why you prefer that? I don't understand why.
Yeah, it's very
Bob,
simple. It's very simple because there would be people eligible to be members who have not made a financial contribution. This would be a way to verify identity so that they would come in person and present some sort of an ID. It wouldn't have to be a picture ID or a driver's license, but something to make sure they are who they say they are. But there would be waivers available for people that there's a hardship, and there would be polling places at several locations around the signal area to minimize the inconvenience. But, you know, this, like a lot of the secondary details to the model, is up for discussion. We're not wedded to every detail, but that was the rationale.
Okay.
Can I add something to that, Bob?
Go ahead.
Just that particular notion of the show up polls and stuff like that,
That is one of the mechanical details of our model. That should not be a focus of the gist and the intent and the quality of this election idea. The idea about showing up in person is not the thrust of the model. That's not. I don't think that's something that we should take center stage in terms of people's discussion.
Well, what happened? Okay, can I continue with the the other question on self-evaluation of the model, the moral participation of it? We do have in the recall part. If a particular representation is not acting according to the Pacifica mission, and we do have grounds to recall that person with a two-third vote of the board, and also, so we have that capability of recalling the person, but since it is a first trial of this model. We would have to try it at least for a couple of years to be able to evaluate how to better proceed with it.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, and just to add one thing again to emphasize the bylaws convention in 1 to 3 years, that all of this is experimental, so anything that the evaluation showed to be weak or counterproductive could be junked and, you know, reconstructed. Let me go through a few some of the others. Who would do the outreach? As our proposal spells out, we called upon the board, and the board partially asked for the budget to include outreach, paid outreach coordinators at all five stations. Unfortunately, if I remember Dan's comment, he said that they had only been budgeted at two stations. But that's a start, and we hope they can be budgeted at all five stations, so you'd have a full-time staff person hired in a broad input process, like all the other processes going on this year, and then that person would marshal and coordinate a huge network of volunteers, so it wouldn't be one political faction or people who are close to this or that. It would be totally open, and that's the hallmark that answers every question that people raise about turf protection and, who selects how the candidates are selected. Everything is completely open. It's on the radio. You know, the nomination period opens this week. You have 4 weeks to, here's the rules, 50 names. You're on the ballot automatically. There's a convention that is widely promoted by the station. It's open to anyone. Unlike what one person asked, it is not mandatory to go to the convention. It's for those who are interested in going.
You say here is the candidate, 50 names. What do you mean?
In other words, petition. You have to have 50 signatures of a registered voter in your constituency in order to be placed on the ballot to show that you have some level of support within your constituency. And the same for at large. Let's see.
Registered voter, I'm sorry, registered where?
Registered with BAI or with the state?
Right, you register with the station to be a voter in these elections.
This is right before nomination?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't have prior.
Are you clear, Miguel?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Steffi's question, how and who determines which constituencies are in and out? And by the way, Patty mentioned feminists, and that's exactly the intent of having a seat for the women's community. That like all these communities, we think it's very, very feasible that the most activist-oriented people will be working very hard to urge candidates who have a track record in that community to come forward and represent, in this case, feminist concerns and demands and needs for Pacifica.
Why say woman instead of feminist?
Because it's based on constituencies as to the people. Now, as far...
Yes, why not say feminist?
Can I finish? Now, as far as who would determine these, we proposed a list for the first round of, I believe it's 18, that we think from our analysis and consultation with people are the most kind of historically and currently oppressed, exploited, underrepresented constituencies. But that may, can people please be quiet?
Shut up.
Okay, so
Mike's the enforcer. the woman's seat.
Would you feel better?
Shite, you're so uncivil.
It's getting late, that's why.
Okay. So if, as we said earlier, if our proposal for station autonomy is approved, then the current lab would choose which are the constituencies in an open public meeting with, I'm sure, lots of debate, which are the constituencies that deserve a guaranteed seat on the board. And similarly, if that needs to change in a future year, the elected board would say, you know, well, we now see there's been a lot of organizing going on in the, you know, such and such community. We think the time has come to guarantee a seat on the board for them. So that would be a local board decision. Okay.
As opposed to self-determination.
Okay, as far as Catherine's question about people being kind of required to vote in a constituency, people have the option to vote in an at-large and in a geographic. So if they don't either feel like they fall in a constituency, nor do they, or in one of the, you know, traditionally oppressed constituencies, nor do they want, even if they are in one of those constituencies, but they, for whatever reason, which is their business, that they say, I'd really rather cast my vote elsewhere, they're completely free to do that. They have two votes, they can distribute them however they want. And again, as far as whether that... Okay.
At large and geographic.
Okay, there's three basic categories among the listeners. Where staff is a whole separate thing. So you can choose to register in either whatever geographic area you live in. That would be one vote. You register and then you vote for that geographic area. Then the second one would be at large, which is the KPFA approach, where, you know, there's nine in our model, nine seats, and you would just cast a vote in that. Or for one of the 17 constituencies based on categories of oppression. So you could say, I would like to cast my vote in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered seat, or in the African ancestry seat.
What if the candidate that I like is in one of the other groups?
Okay, well that, okay, no, I understand, and Jamie asked that question too, and the answer to that, I would say, and everyone can answer this question how you want. I would say this is what self-determination is all about, that yes, it's true that you may want to vote for a very progressive African-American or a very progressive disabled person, but by you being able to vote for that person, also the people who don't want the most progressive person in the disabled community may also have the right to vote. And so what we're saying is it should be up to that community to determine its representatives to the board. It doesn't say that no disabled person or no African ancestry person can be elected by the at-large seats. And I'm sure there will be people running. And in fact, we have...
Okay.
Well, anyway, that's for people to decide. Okay. Okay. Well, there's one more. Well, no, he was actually asking about the threat of protecting turf, and I think I already addressed that everything is open and participatory, and this is not something that management or any other part of the Pacifica community is going to control. It's going to be. The power will be widely shared, and it's going to be extremely closely scrutinized by all. There's one more. Jamie, was that? Did I answer your? You had one.
I thought you had one more. I feel like you guys give up a lot, and you don't gain that much. But I would like you to explain why you feel that's a good.
Right, I remember it. All right, so. Again, this is a judgment call that the board can make. I mean, we don't actually think we do give up anything. As we said earlier, we think that this model makes it, by having 18 kind of separate votes being held, that it's a lot harder for hostile forces to come in and, you know, sweep in, you know, if one well-organized whatever comes into the KPFA model at large elections, they can sweep all the seats, and this way, in our model, they'd have to come into 18 different elections, put up candidates, recruit people who are part of that community, so it's tougher. So we don't actually think we're giving up anything, but to the extent there might be some things, as in the question Catherine asked about not being able to vote for that person,
or different people's votes being worth different amounts.
Or that, you know, again, that is a core issue of self-determination. When I was at the University of Maryland and there was an honors council that ran the honors program, you know, there were people, myself included, when I was reactionary, that said, you know, why should a black person who only represents 10 students get a seat equal to the vote of us white students that have 300? Well, you know what? That's part of righting the wrongs of this society's injustice and imbalance by having a guaranteed seat at the table, regardless of numerical strength. So a Native American will not be disenfranchised because of 400 years of genocide. If there's, you know, 1,000 Native Americans in New York City, and 100 of them vote in that election, I think they deserve a seat on this board.
Do you not have anything to answer?
What's after the procedure now? We're going to answer the questions.
You take the questions.
We have 10 minutes to answer.
The answer, there's no.
We'll answer the questions addressed to us.
Yeah.
It's just unknown.
Or you want to address whatever you want to say.
All right, well, Fred asked a question, where is the outreach in KPFA? I would say that this is an area where the constituency model has one advantage because it spells out the need for an outreach coordinator, so that should be incorporated. However, the model inherently is an outreach model, and the point that we tried to make is that KPFA is essentially a process which, to a large extent, parallels the process that this lab itself undertook as a lab. And that you engaged in an outreach process. You created a structure to do that. And this outreach process will be created and was created under KPFA. There, you know, committees will, you know, of listener activists come together and they plan how they're going to go to communities and recruit candidates from the communities, people who represent the communities. Excuse me? How will you know that they represent the communities? The same way that you would know here. I mean, you know, with the constituency model, how do you know that a candidate represents a community? A candidate can claim that they represent a community. How did the lab, let's put it this way, you were chosen by the lab because it was believed that you were a representative of the community. How did the lab undertake that process?
That's something that I would like at the end of this, because I heard this brought up before. So I'd like to answer that later, not now.
Okay.
I want you to.
But my impression is that is essentially what this lab undertook to do, was to find members of communities of color and of ethnicity, and to try to find people of progressive politics who represented the community. And I think that that's essentially what was done here. And that was that is essentially what the listener movement will do in a KPFA model in WBAI. Probably will go to Ann Emmerman and everyone else who has a track record and background on how to do outreach. And we will attempt to recruit candidates from every possible community of color and every possible progressive activist community, like the peace movement and the environmental movement. And these will be the candidates that we will bring forward to represent the listenership. So, I mean, I think that, I don't know if that's clear, but, you know, I think it's kind of self-evident.
Yeah, and also the requirements of the model is that people who have shown commitment to the mission, and we have been activists around, and they are known to be. So you are safeguarding against people who you don't know. And somebody comes and say, for example, I can come and say, I'm representing Iranians, Middle Easterns. How are you going to check that? I can give you 50 votes. I can give you 100 votes. Not in people who register. But we want people, the KPFA model, and what we support is that people who are known in the communities. And we have to go and approach all the communities and see people who are known to the Pacifico family, the people who are here, and all the other people that are going to come, that they are mission-oriented, that their primary activity on BAI is the mission of the BAI, which is promoting peace and social justice. And that within that, then we have all the other things, groups that we want and interests that we want to include and bring in. I think one of the things that I've been thinking about is that what we need to do more and more and more is on the programming side of this. This is where the programming, this is about a radio station, where the programming is going to respond and address the issues of marginalized and disenfranchised people. And that's where we have to put lots of emphasis to having people on whatever format is going to, programming of BAI is going to take shape, that is going to be inclusive, is going to be progressive, is going to be mission committed. We are spending so much time on the lab, but I think what we have to really put lots of attention is about the programming. This is about the radio station. It's not about the political party. We need to have programs that addresses diversities of perspective, diversities of people, especially marginalized. This is what we are about, and that's what the mission is about. So when the model requires people who have shown a track record of commitment to the mission and the progressive, that it ensures it, that we are getting the people. Of course, what Andy has and other people have said about the professionalism, that is part of it, that we have to get people who are professional. Not anybody who wants to be on the lab necessarily have to be on the lab. There are certain qualifications, and that qualification become part of, you know, the managing. When we have a national model, then within each constituent, each group, they can model that. When whoever is going to run and supervise and develop the election process, the electoral process, it can modify that to the need of the community. What do they need? What type of professionals they need, and what type of other people they need?
But just one brief word. I think the essence of what we're saying is that we are recognizing the reality that there is a Pacifica community. Exactly. There is a progressive community. And I disagree very strongly. We are not divided. This is not, this group is divided for other reasons, yeah. But we're not divided racially in this room. And that board is not divided racially. There are issues, but every person on this board is trying to overcome whatever racial or, okay, well obviously, this is not a perfect situation, but we are a community, a unique community which is striving to overcome whatever racial or other biases that we bring. And that's what we have to maintain, the unity. And to revert back to a 1980s model that breaks us up into separate constituencies, I believe is reactionary. And one more point. You say, where are the candidates going to come from? The communities did not demand a constituency model. This constituency model is not coming with some kind of groundswell from the various communities in the metropolitan area. This model is coming from people who have an ideological proclivity toward that type of model, and the initiative. Yeah, and I'll tell you where the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding because the proof is in the pudding. The constituencies are not here. They have not responded. And they will not take the assumption of the constituency model is that, of course, as soon as they're offered a seat, the communities are going to rise up. And, of course, the definition of a community is 50 votes. That's what it takes to elect a member of a constituency in their model, 50 votes, in an election.
You go ahead.
3 minutes?
Okay.
Well, the whole Anthony wants to speak. Whole idea.
Can they just? They have the.
Well, the whole idea is.
Mario.
Marion, he gets a chance.
Susan, he told her.
Okay.
Okay, the whole idea is whether or not we want to promote diversity or we want to promote separation and identity politics. Okay, he mentioned that mechanics of election is not what's at stake here. Mechanics is exactly what's at stake. How are you going to have these elections? You know, the devil is in the details. The constituency model does not address how the election is really going to happen, first of all. Okay, second of all, this is a very reductionist model. I would resent to have to vote for specific groups or for specific people. If I do feel that any candidate represent me, I should be able to vote for them. A white candidate can represent black issues. So can black candidate represent white issues. Empowering the community is not to just give them a seat. Okay, we have elections right now in the United States. There, you know, we have blacks elected. Does that empower the specific communities? Charles Rangel's in, you know, Harlem and so forth, they were being sold out? Not really. So what's really at stake here is outreach. And outreach is not giving people a seat in power. Outreach is going to the community. KPFK, they have a van that goes out to the oppressed communities and broadcast the KPFA program to the communities. WBIX does things like that from time to time. And at WBI, that's what we need to do. Programming is what the station is all about, first of all. And second of all, outreach we haven't been doing. Outreach to the community. I totally agree with the constituency diversity model in their outreach push to get candidates and to get members to listen to the station. But we cannot really go out there and just ask anybody in New York, 7 million people, to just, you know, decide whether or not they want to become a member of the WBAI community. That's irrational. Thank you.
That's what he's doing.
Can we call someone?
All right. Cool.